I mean, why? Now let's look at the possibilities of having a modular refinery in Rivers State. One, let's look at the environmental impact of oil bunkering in the state and other states, but more in Rivers State, because right now the I've not been in River State, but you can call me and also tell me. The reports we get from our correspondent there, the air is filled with soot. Your nostrils are filled with soot. This is very hazardous to the health of Nigerians who live in this state. So the conversation today goes around the possibility of modular refineries, as well as the health hazards, environmental hazard of illegal refineries on the citizens of the state. I'll be joined shortly by the program manager, Environmental Rights Action, Friends of the Earth, the Port Harcourt officer, Kentebe Ebiarado. He'll be joining me shortly, and you can watch live on Facebook and YouTube where we're streaming live right now. You can join the show there immediately and leave us your comment. If you're tweeting, please use the hashtag NigeriaInfoMCF to join the conversation on that platform. You can leave your thoughts on the live stream. You can send a message on WhatsApp also, 08095975805, or you can call the phone lines 0700-993-993-993. Earlier this month, Governor Nyesom Wike made a move by naming, in fact, he put a name to it. He named quite a number of people, about 19 people, who he said are culprits in the growth of illegal refineries and oil bunkering in the state. In fact, one of those he mentioned is one of the directors that work for him directly in the government. He said, arrest this man right away. He's one of the one of those I'm looking at. These are the people who are the cause of pollution in the state. However, after all of the things he had done, the APC in River State somehow believe that the governor has a hand in this also. They put out a statement earlier this year in which the APC said, let me quote them, while it appears that Governor Wike has finally hearkened to the overwhelming criticism by Rivers people and other concerned Nigerians that accuse the governor of not feeling concerned for the by the death by installment, which suit has constituted to residents of the state, deeper and critical inquisition into the circumstances surrounding the phenomenon which has bedeviled lives of residents has revealed indirect large-scale complicity by the River State government in the minutes. According to them, from 2015 to date, most major projects by the River State government since inauguration have been executed by Julius Berger Nigeria Limited. They say that on an average, the company consumes about 300,000 liters of AGO per day. And this has undeniably become one of the biggest AGO consumption volumes in the state. They also claim that this large volume of AGO used by this construction company is sourced from illegal refiners of the products called Pofire. And they claim also that Julius Berger and River State buys AGO at between 220 naira and 240 naira per liter, whereas the official ex-depot price from NIPCO and other major importers range from 315 to 350 naira per liter. There's more, but you know how politics go. But beyond the politics, let's look at the direct impact of this suit on Nigerians in River State. My guest joins me right now on the show. As I introduced earlier, you can watch on Facebook and YouTube where we're streaming live right now. And you can also join us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM. He's Kentebe Ebiarado. He's a program manager, Environmental Rights Action, Friends of the Earth from Port Harcourt. He joins us right now. Good morning, if you can hear me.
Good morning. Good morning, Lagos. Good morning, the entire country of Nigeria.
Yes.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being here. Now, first of all, you are in Port Harcourt. We are in Lagos. So some people can claim, oh, it's just hearsay. What is the situation in River State? Is it everywhere? I mean, what we hear about the soot, I'm thinking the air looks black. So in which areas are these most rampant, and how bad is it?
Thank you for this conversation. like you said, though, when you say you are in Lagos and we don't really know, understand what it's all about, it's all over the city of Port Harcourt. I mean, someone who is asthmatic comes into Port Harcourt, who does not live here, comes into Port Harcourt and spends the first 24 to 48 hours, starts having crisis. That is how bad it is. You know, so you wake up in the morning in the city of Port Harcourt, on the surface of your vehicle, you see black suits all over your vehicles. People cannot comfortably open their windows and sleep at night if there is no electricity, because all you will see is black substances on the floor. We have to mop our houses every 24 hours. My children, if I have the opportunity of getting my daughter in the morning and ask her to clean her nose, and it comes out with, the catar comes out with black substances. Whoa. And it's how painful and that's how bad it is. And that has been going on unchallenged for about 6-7 years. Nothing that the government has not done anything. Even when the state government even tried to cry to the federal for assistance, there was no response. It was as if the government of Nigeria and the state government left us to die for owning resources that belongs to the region, which is very, very annoying. Very, very not so interesting at all.
Now, you've mentioned this started 6 or 7 years ago. So let's trace back. Yeah. I mean, if this wasn't always the case, I mean, I feel very worried that children. Yeah. I mean, that's really alarming. I can only imagine the impact on the health of these children in the future. This is really alarming. So let's trace it back. You've been in River State all the while. We have a station there. A correspondent feed us back, you know, about what's going on. But let me hear from you directly. Lagosians are also listening and people are listening across the world. So what do you believe is the cause of this suit? Where is it coming from? Certainly it's not coming from the ground. What is the cause of it?
Now, the suits are coming from, I would call it incomplete combustion from a refining product. Now, let me go back a little bit into history. We have a community called Ekpan in around Warri Axis, where they protested. Even I went as far as the National Assembly, where they were having a series of suits. How that stopped, I really don't know. But we also have the situation where in River State, you have Port Harcourt Refinery, and Port Harcourt Refinery has been dormant for years. Mm. But at most of the time, like I saw some nights ago, like 2 or 3 years ago, I noticed that when production is ongoing, it comes out with very thick black smoke. And when this thick black smoke comes out, it goes into the atmosphere and the wind blows it to any direction it wants to go to. The resultant drops from this black smoke is what is happening, is what they call the soot. However, that is not the major cause. What we have come to realize is that people have decided to tap oil pipelines, fill the crude, and start refining. Now, there are reports that we have done by my colleague in Bayelsa State, and also research I've also done here in River State, that says that most of the community people involved in this part of crime were taught by company workers. Oil company workers taught them how to refine such products. But that is not in the past. We are not looking at, that they must have taught them, now they've also understood it. The act of artisanal refining is called stealing of crude oil. Hmm. You steal the crude oil, you pump it, you burn it and produce kerosene, you produce diesel, and you also produce oil. Now, that also calls the question when they say that we are paying subsidy for products that come into the country. I can tell you categorically that the kerosene that is being used in the Niger Delta for the past 10 years have been produced by this artisanal refinery. I can tell you categorically that the diesel, like you mentioned, that just because depends on this diesel. The diesel that is being used mostly in the Niger Delta comes from that particular place. And also the fuel, all the filling stations that you meet in the city of Port Harcourt and Bayelsa and the environments are all of them, from this artisanal refinery.
Hold on a bit. I mean, you put in so much. Let's break this down. You're shocking me to bit. You mean that the filling stations in Port Harcourt, they buy, or in River State, they buy fuel from these illegal refiners. Companies,
it's cheaper for them,
buy from them. The kerosene households use, they buy from them. That's it.
We speak, because of the fight of artisanal refining, all the coal fire fires have been destroyed. people are beginning to claim that there's shortage of kerosene supply. Let me also shock you. I was in Federal Palace Hotels like 2 or 3 years ago. I wanted to buy a painkiller. So I went outside to the Navy Air Force Marine Service around there. And I was walking, trying to look for a pharmacy to buy. And I came across kerosene. And I was shocked, like a baby or a child who has gone to a new environment in an old place. I was shocked to see kerosene looking like water, as pure as that. Because I have not seen that in the past 10 years. I can take pictures, I can buy kerosene here, take the pictures, and send to you. And you do your independent search of the kerosene that is seen on every nook and cranny of the Niger Delta and the kerosene you see in Lagos. And you believe me that you will see a huge difference in all of this.
So let me.
So what is the government doing?
Yeah, now that's where we're at. So the governor, your governor, has made quite some moves. He's become quite popular for making, you know, very serious steps, taking serious steps. And in this regard, it appears that he wants to finally fix the problem. But I want to, why we're here, is to know if his attempt to fix the problem is actually a solution. So he has given orders to destroy all illegal refineries. In fact, he backed it up with finance by giving 20 million naira to each local government. Go look for these people, destroy these illegal refineries. In your assessment, if a whole state is dependent on these illegal refiners, destroying these their facilities, how do you see this playing out? Is this a solution?
It's an instant solution because the people of the Niger Delta and the people of Port Harcourt are dying gradually. So it's something that needs to be done. We cannot say because of it is creating some form of employment for the boys.
Yeah.
We cannot say because it is reducing the amount of the money spent on diesel. We cannot. But after you looked at the health impact, let me even shift away from the health impact. What about the environmental impact? We have tried all this while that the Niger Delta is heavily polluted. And if the Niger Delta is heavily polluted, we are giving the companies enough excuse to say, hey, this pollution is not caused by us, it's caused by the communities. So what's going to happen? They will not be held responsible for polluting the Delta, which they have done in the past 50 years. The environmental impact of these activities is too enormous. If you go to any of the sites, you see that most of the unused crude is being spilled on the floor. Most of the burning also goes into the atmosphere. Let's not forget that climate change, the gas flare is a major driver of climate change.
Yes.
And the act of having this fire burning, even if it's for even 3 or 4 hours, it has an actual impact on the climate. So when people say that if you find this artificial refinery, you are beginning to, there will be no more kerosene or what, I don't care what they say. The fact needs to be spoken. The fact remains that that is dangerous to the environment. It is killing our people. And I've told all these people during those things that if you keep involving yourself or keep spending your money in investing in such activities, it takes you less than 10 years to spend whatever you have saved in trying to treat yourself. And let's not forget, we don't have any cancer-curing hospital in the entire country. So will you use all the money you have and travel abroad? Will you still be remained for you? That's what people don't really understand. And I don't like to understand the fact where people are trying to say politics is coming, that the governor is now inducing people with 20 million. Yes, I also fought that because I see that how can you, as a governor, be asking people, be telling your local government chairman, I will induce you with, first of all, 2 million naira. So each site that you see, I give you 2 million naira. So even if there is no site, they can create a site and say, because 2 million is a lot of money.
Yeah.
And in one particular community, 7-6 we think that is how bad it is. 7-6
in one community.
What
has happened is that they have created little kitchenettes across the state. Begin to look like.
You can see that.
I mean, all over the place, people are in small. Okay. Now, this is very dangerous. Aside thinking about combustion, because it's a highly inflammable materials, you know, the health hazard, the environmental impact, you know, which we're seeing across, not just across the country, but across the world, you know, But now, like I said in my introduction, the APC laid some allegations. Of course, so this might be politics kicking up, but there is some weight in some of the things that they mentioned, which they highly harped on the fact that the construction company, Julius Berger, working actively in the state, purchased, you've also confirmed this, but the governor has not said anything directly in this regard. If we do not fix the biggest buyer of this product, don't you think that these small kitchenettes of oil refineries will spring up again? Now, remember the economics of price. Remember the economics of demand and supply, right? If there's
yes. Thank you for bringing this up. And then let me state it very categorical. There is no biggest supply or biggest purchaser of the artisanal refining in anywhere in River State or in the United Delta. The biggest people who purchase this are the citizens. It's not about a particular company. Hmm. What if the company was not in existence? Are you trying to? Most of the companies in River State all use artisanal diesel. It's not about your speaker.
Hmm.
It's about the fact that there is a market for it. It's about the fact that the crime has not been stopped. It's about the fact that people still are involved in this business. It's not about the fact that Julius Berger is dealing on it.
Hmm.
Okay, what if Julius Berger is not dealing on it? Or the fact that Julius Berger closes down tomorrow and nobody's attacking at this refinery. Are you trying to tell me that it's going to stop or it's going to reduce? No, I think that's a very political statement that holds no bound whatsoever. Hmm. So nobody should bring such statements to want to say that it's because Julius Berger is involved in buying majority of the. What about companies that run 24 hours? I don't want to talk about telecommunications companies who also have to have their masks running 24 hours. Are you trying to exempt them from this, your claim? No, that is not possible. Let's also not forget that there is a market for it. Since there is a market for it, there is also demand for it.
Yeah.
Let me give it to a small process that I've come to understand. We have people who tap the pipelines. We have people who sell the crude. We have people who buy the crude. And after buying this crude, they refine.
It's a whole process chain.
Exactly.
It's a whole process chain.
So, is it Julius Berger that uses the kerosene?
Right. Do they use kerosene? I'm coming back to you. I need to go out on a very quick break. Nigeria, this is the Morning Crossfire, 99.3 Nigeria Info. When we come back, we'll talk some more. Stay right here with me. My guest is still here. I'll be right back. The way pollution works, the intricacies are too deep. You know, the women, the pregnant women, the brain power of the young children in the years to come. You know, I think until we do thorough health investigations, we might not begin to understand yet the impact of what's going on. But these are all the things happening in Nigeria. I remember that Governor Nyesom Wike threatened, in fact, beyond threatening, he put action behind his word. He gave the local government chairman 20 million naira each to fish out all the illegal refineries in their communities and demolish them. He also named some people, about 19 of them, one of them working with him directly, a director, which he said should be arrested and investigated for being a party to these ongoing activities. But following up in this conversation here in Lagos, our correspondent Emmanuel Onwuka, following this story, spoke to, you know, some people in River State. We hear some of the artisanal crude oil refiners in the state when we spoke to them. Remember, this was earlier in the year. They said that the ban on their activities will only bring back militancy to the state. They're threatening. Anonymously, they spoke to a correspondent, Martha Okere, yes. And they're threatening to go back to militancy. Don't take my word for it. Listen to them directly. Here you go.
19 people declare wanted. The NS of declare they wanted. So this one like this now, I think someone can stop bunkers. If they like say one may militant come up again. We will carry gun. Because this bunker road they do, they don't sustain our family. Nothing they'll do for us, nothing they'll do for us. I get 4 children and they pay school fees. And they save a 2-bedroom flat and then they go to school. How they carry the sustain this bunker business. So if you know someone stop the bunker business, they can give us way to we'll not say yes. Our mind will rest. We will not say we will do okay with them.
Are they asking the governor to pay them off to stop these criminal acts? I find it ludicrous. But my guest is here. He lives right there in Port Harcourt. He's the one, I mean, who knows, who sees this firsthand, though our reporters also follow up on the matter. Mr. Kentebe Ebiarado is joining me again here. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So you heard one of the artisanal crude refiners saying, oh, if the governor continues like this, we're going back to pick up arms. Is that a threat worth its salt?
Who are they threatening? They're threatening themselves or they're threatening the citizenry or the governor. But as far as I'm concerned, they're criminals and they should be dealt with as criminals. Let's not forget that we have an amnesty program, which was a failed program for the Niger Delta. We heard all people saying that, oh, the Niger Delta is destroyed. If you don't create development, if you don't Google, all of that, we all saw that the entire amnesty program was a total failure. It never addressed the issues of the Niger Delta. The place is still polluted. There are still no hospitals. There are still no job opportunities. And there are no industries entirely in the system. So if those people say that because they stopped them from stealing the crude, they want to go into militants, no government will condone criminals.
Yeah,
they have to know that. No government will condone criminals. And I will not be in anybody, I will not support anybody who is into criminal activity.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as I'm concerned, whatever they think they are nothing to be compared to the impacts they create on their environment. They are nothing to be compared to the impact they have created on the people's health. They are complaining, they are talking. Do they think they have money to take care of their children when the impact starts?
Mm.
They don't have that money. No matter the amount of crude oil they steal or money they think they save up, they won't have enough money to take care of their children. He has four children.
Hmm.
Can he pay for the cancer operation or the cancer treatment for four children? He can't do that.
Don't you think that the government, you know, which is why I was asking about this solution, this approach, this quick approach. What I see happening is that because these people are poor and they want to eat, they believe this is their survival. This is what they exist on. They will possibly find another way around it. How about some enlightenment? I mean, if people understand the gravity of what they're doing, the impact on their health, on their children, on their unborn children, possibly they would get it, don't you think?
Well, I've had calls to train community members across rivers, Bayelsa and Akwa Ibom State on the dangers of pipeline vaporization. And it's not about having a sensitization. It's about sustainability. It's about money in their pockets. You know, you could train them and teach them all of these things. As long as it doesn't translate to money in their pockets, it's difficult for them to understand. You know, so that is why I blame the fact that the entire Niger Delta governors or the entire Niger leadership of the Niger Delta are to blame in a position where we have had opportunities gained. And at the same time, we've had opportunities lost. Mm-hmm. Why am I saying so? The Niger Delta is the only region where you have the Ministry of Niger Delta Affairs, and NDDC, the 30% verification, and the ecological funds, and all whatnot. And moreover, the environment is very peculiar because you cannot just construct roads the way you construct in Abuja and other places.
Mm.
The road construction, even building a house, if it costs 4.5 million to build a house, other places, you are looking at between 13 or 14 million naira, if not more, because you have to first build the land and all of that. But outside that, what has the Governor Yesomike of River State, what has he done in trying to improve the standard of living of the people?
Mm.
What has he done in terms of trying to create jobs or opportunities for the people? That is where I pulled the 460 million. It's not that it's enough to employ enough people, but it doesn't have to customize. That's with a step.
Yeah.
Why has he not invested a billion naira in trying to create job opportunities for the people of River State?
Mm.
What investment has the governor or River State government done to ensure that the people are dependent or looking up to something to say, oh, if this project starts, I can have access to X, Y, Z? No, there are no job opportunities, and that is why you have people such as that making statements of threat that if they stop coal fire activities, they will go back to artisanal refinery. Well, those are criminals, and they will be dealt with as criminals. That's my point.
As with every other part of the country, the Northeast being an example, today is International Day for Education. And as you see, the Northeast and in many parts of the North, where you have a thriving youth, with low education and low employment opportunities, they tend to turn to criminal activities because they have to survive. You know, what the solution, long-term solution, would be to then draft, as you've mentioned, an employment, you know, job creation opportunities. If you want to take this from them, what are you replacing it with? What profitable venture are you replacing it with to make sure that they don't go back, you know, to their criminal activities? Okay, before I come to the phone lines, and I'm going to take just a few calls, let me tell you that there is a report by AccuWeather on the health effects of this suit on residents in Rivers State. It said that healthy individuals may experience difficulty breathing and throat irritation with prolonged exposure. It also advised that residents should limit their outdoor activities. How do you do this when you have to sell stuff and make money? The report pegged the air quality index in Port Harcourt at 101. And it said that there are fine particulate matter in the air. These are inhalable pollutant particles with a diameter less than 2.5 micrometers that can enter the lungs, the bloodstreams, and result in severe health issues such as heart complications, aggravated asthma, chronic respiratory diseases, and so on. 0700-993-993-993. When you do call, you have 30 seconds to make your point. Female callers, 0146571190. Good morning, hello.
Yeah, actually, good morning.
Morning to you, sir.
You look, I'm so happy with this guest, the man that is explaining stuff. Those guys, they are criminals. Actually, they come to my community. There's a place they call Benekuku. This gas flaring, the thing is really telling on my people. But because of the money the federal government is making, as far back 2019, January, they said they will stop gas flaring. But that thing is still going on. The thing is telling on my people. Once they come out of that community, you will know. The moment you see the person, you will know this person is from Benekuku. Because the thing affects their side.
Oh.
But they don't know. So for the governor, I think it took him a long before he started this action. He could have done this like 4, 5, 6 years ago.
Well, better late than never, they say. Let me take a few comments from Facebook. Wilson Osai says, let's us be wise not to fool ourselves before these politicians. What do you mean this time around? Are you talking about the elections? Olado Sugbenga, well, meanwhile, I stayed for over 20 years in Port Harcourt. I returned to Lagos in 2014. Issues of poor fire, illegal refineries and black suit has been happening not today or last year. Most times when we wake up in the morning between 6 and 11 a.m., everywhere is always cloudy as if rain is about to fall. That's alarming. Victor Chapman, the guy that said he's going back to pick up arms is officially... I can't use the word. It means it's crazy. What is he doing with all the money he got from the bunkering business? Why didn't he use the proceeds he has gotten so far to invest in another kind of business? Well, but never think so. It's quick money. So sorry about that. Please try again. Good morning. Hello. Oh, what's going on? Sorry about that. Please also try again. I'll also visit YouTube. It's Nigeria Info 99.3 to take your comments in a moment. Hello. Good morning. Yes. Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning once again.
Yes.
I'm so much excited to have your voice.
Please go ahead.
Come on,
yeah, please go ahead.
My name is Azubiti. I'm talking to Malaysia Day.
Okay.
Coming to this old fire of the thing that we have been talking about in 2016, that UK are talking about this thing. It's not only about bunkering that is causing all this suit in Rivers State. Do you know that people are dealing with these condemned tires, and where they buy them and where they get them? They will take them to the inside bush and burn it and use the copper wire to manufacture something. Are you getting me? So we can talk about it in 2016, that they will stop all this burning of condemned tires and all that things. But do you know that in Rivers State, we have seen burning tires every day by day? What have the governor done to those tire burning?
Okay, I hear you. Good morning, hello.
Good morning, everyone.
Welcome to the show.
Yeah, this Friday from Toledo.
Yes.
See, that guy that is talking, he's just making an empty threat. It's an empty threat. How can you be polluting the society, destroy people's lives because of your personal gain? And the government has come out to it now to save the people. He said that we want to go back to a minister talking. Let me go back to minister now. If he's caught, we pay for it. Is it free? Let me go back now. Let us see who will laugh last.
Thank you very much. I'm on Twitter where Oladimeji says, I think Wike is doing the federal government's work and should be commended. Suits isn't the only problem. In reverse, those artisanal crude burners, not refineries, please. Well, they're refining something. Soot is not the only problem they pose to Port Harcourt residents. Several dangerous chemicals and gases being liberated from the crude. He mentions their names, different gases, pose far greater risk. Thank you for your message. One more call and then we'll get set to go. Sorry about that. Good morning. Hello. Are you there?
Yeah, good morning, Wemimo.
Good morning. Welcome to the show.
How are you today? My name is Akpan.
Akpan, please go ahead.
I'm at Yaba. I'm calling from Yaba. I condemn all the illegal refineries that I want to deviate from there. If what they are doing, their product is usable by even foreigners, why don't the government punish them and transfer them into the refineries in Port Harcourt, in Katuna, that is not working for years, for them to work for the government and for those refineries to work? Take their product in the lab. If it is working, is good, it's accepted in Nigerian market and elsewhere. Punish them and put them into the live refinery built by government that is not working for years.
All right, thank you very much. And you've just led me to my final question to my guest this morning, and that's about the modular refineries. Now, remember, the federal government had promised in 2017, as part of its effort to tackle these issues, to create modular refineries. So is this an option? And how would this work? I've got 1 minute.
Okay, yes, it's an option. But it's an option if it is well tackled or if it's done properly. You don't do modern refinery where you do it the way you are paying, giving a meal tickets to your friends, just like the way they're sharing full meals around the entire Niger Delta state, Niger Delta. You have to do it with the consent of the communities, and you have to do it with the communities in a situation where the communities will have a buy-in in the modern refineries. And in that way, you have them being part of the process. Even people who are also involved in artisanal refining will come together as a group or institution to see how they can be part of this process. And that will reduce the cost of production of the crude in the country. Yeah. However, there is still the danger of it going on because it is continued production. And Nigeria needs to move away from the dependence on fossil fuels and move up to renewable energy, because that's the way forward. Oil and crude oil sales and crude oil with no fossil fuel extraction is going extinct around the world. The earlier Nigeria moves away from it, the earlier the better for us. So in as much as we're going to have fossil modular refineries, it should be done in the best manner that is going to be accommodating the communities. They shouldn't do it in a manner where they ask people to come and bid for oil wells, and at the end of the day, they now share it amongst their cronies, amongst their friends, just as they've just done in the last few weeks, where they shared 20 oil wells about 20 of their friends. It shouldn't be a meal ticket to their friends. Okay. It should be all inclusive.
All right.
It should be something that everybody is part of.
That's a good note, a good way to wrap up the show, to emphasize that the world is moving away from fossil fuels. That's even the biggest conversation. We're moving away from petrol, from stuff like that. But while we're still here, let's walk around what's healthy for us. A big thanks to my guest this morning. Thank you very much for joining the show.
Thank you for having me.
Nigeria, I'll see you again tomorrow morning at 5 o'clock. Of course, Table Talk is coming up next at 9. My name is Wemimo Adewoni. Stay here.
And information coming up. We'll be back in a moment. 99.3 Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.